Welcome to Mornings with Matt White, right here on SEN.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. A few showers around this morning and tops of 21 in the city and the west. The Sydney Morning Herald's chief sports writer, Andrew Webster, will be joining me shortly. So a day earlier than normal, but we did this last week as we continue our Olympic coverage. So Webby on a Tuesday on our morning show. How good was Tommy Turbo last night? Three try assists, 15 tackle break. He was in everything last night. He turned the game against the Sharks on its head. And then it's been pointed out to me this morning that when the Dally M counting went behind closed doors, Turbo was 6 points behind Nathan Cleary. Since then, Nathan's only played the one match and Turbo has played four games. Absolute blinders. So you'd have to say that in terms of the Dally M player of the year at the moment, Tom Trbojevic is right up there. Certainly he would have gone ahead of Nathan Cleary, but it's one to ponder as we get towards the back end of the season. So Manly 40, beating the Sharks 22. It sets up a mouthwatering clash on Saturday night between the Seagulls and the Storm. Also last night, the Titans beat the Bulldogs 34-6. So we now have, get this, the Titans, the Sharks, Raiders, Dragons and Knights all on 18 points in a fight for 7th and 8th on the ladder. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, all on 18 points as we head towards the closing stages of the NRL Premiership proper. The question is, where will this week's matches actually be played up there in Queensland? And does the NRL have a fight coming with its vaccination plan for players and the plan for those who don't get the jab? We'll get to the bottom of all that and talk Olympic Games with Webby very soon. Don't forget, you can have your say on any time in the morning show. 0457 736 736. Have you got a question for Webby this morning? Well, give us a call, 1300 01 1170. Well, last night in Tokyo, the absolute highs and lows of the games and of sport in particular, the Opals came storming home. So 96-69, the final score, to make sure that they won by more than 25 points over Puerto Rico in the women's basketball.
Had such a good game, 14 points for her. She goes to the stripe for the first time tonight.
Oh,
27.
Get this one and get it to 28.
Get it to 28 and it is all over. And Australia will go to the quarterfinals. She can't, so she's just left the door open.
No
27
threes.
The margin. A
no
three
threes.
Will break
no
their
threes.
Hearts. They fire the three. It's off the money, and Australia is going to prevail. The Opals are going to the quarterfinals. They left it late.
Wow, incredible. So they're into the quarters, and they'll take on Team USA later this week. Then you have the flip side. Did you see the Matildas last night? They should have been 1-0 up against Sweden in their quarterfinal, but that Sam Kerr goal was deemed offside. It wasn't. It was a goal. Australia should have been 1-0 up. Congratulations, too, by the way, to the Aussies for not blowing up deluxe on this one. They've held their nerve and their calm. However, the Swedes ended up one-goal winners.
Sweden first to attack, and it took a deflection. Micah backs off and had to tip it over. It's still alive for Sweden and hooked home by Rolfo. Sweden find the opening goal in the semi-final. In the opening minute of the second half, Australia have to regroup and get ready for that bronze medal contest against the United States without Ellie Carpenter.
Yeah, so highs and lows. Then we have 21-year-old Queensland runner Riley Day through to the semis in the 200 metres in her first games. I'll talk to Webby about this a little bit more in just a sec, but she runs a personal best in the semis and just misses out on the final. But you have to say that this young lady at just 21 years of age, the next games are only 3 years away. She's the future and she's all class.
22-5-6. You've defeated Pandini. You defeated Daphne Skippers, young lady. What happened there?
Holy shit. That was a much better race than this morning. I've got my groove. And now I just hope that it's the fastest heat so I can get in the final, because that is massive PB. That's awesome.
It's an incredible PB. So you've slashed that. You've run 22.56. It's unbelievable. You're top eight all time now for Australia. And you're doing it 21 years of age. How are you doing it so young? Because you're racing against people so much more experienced.
You know, I don't like to let that stop me. I want to be the best. And I'm going to stop at nothing to be the best. My coach, Paul, and my strength coach, Chris, worked tirelessly to get me to be where I am. So everything goes to them here. It's unbelievable.
Bo Desert's in lockdown at the moment. No doubt you've got a lot of people who are sitting at home sending messages to you, cheering you on.
The support has been overwhelming. I am so grateful for everyone that has wished me luck, congratulated me. It's just been incredible and I can't wait to celebrate with them back home.
You need corporate support. We want Australia, I'm going to embarrass you, we want Australia to start supporting you. You're working at Woolies in the produce section. I know you go and do the shopping for John, who's 90 and he can't see. You do that every week. You've got a big heart. You don't have a sponsor. Come on, Australia, get behind this young lady.
I mean, if you do want to follow my journey, my Instagram, _RileyDay, that's where I post most of my stuff. So if you want to follow along, then that's where it is.
_RileyDay, a superstar in the making. That women's 200 final is tonight. Andrew Hoy, at the age of 62, in his eighth Olympic Games. Wrap your head around this. 62 eighth games, has become our oldest medalist, with silver in the team's eventing competition in equestrian and then a bronze in the individual event. Andrew made his Olympic debut in 1984. Bob Hawke was our prime minister then. Ronald Reagan was the US president. He was born in 59, Andrew Hoy, just a few years after the Melbourne Olympics. And here he is at the 2020 Games in 21, at the age of 62, collecting medals yet again. And one of the most disturbing scenes last night, track cyclist Alex Porter smashing into the velodrome boards face first after his gazillion-dollar super high-tech, virtually unbreakable bike, well, it actually broke in the team's pursuit.
So it has been a big effort already. And the handlebars just broke. So he didn't clip the wheel at all. His handlebars and the head stem.
Oh, and you can see his hands. Alex is just like, what happened?
That's
a nasty fall. Goodness me. You do not see that happen.
The fact that he just got up and walked away,
yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Very
because
happy
you could imagine broken parts of a bike. If he landed on it, he could have cut himself terribly. Wow. So his handlebars or his head stem, the steerer tube within the fork, something there has malfunctioned and snapped. He is absolutely filthy.
And
you don't see that every day. He managed to get himself back out there not too long after that, with bark all off his face and arms and everywhere. And Alex Porter got back up and rode again. But the Aussies out of contention in that particular event. So it's day 11 now of the Tokyo 2020 Games. What's on the menu today in athletics? The heats of the men's 1500 metres. Three Aussies will be in action. Mackenzie Little and Kelsey Lee Barber will be out on the field qualifying in the women's javelin today. Brooke Stratton will be flying high for Australia in the women's long jump final. It's the semis and then finals at the canoe sprint on Sea Forest Waterway. So a few Aussies in action. Tonight, our Australian Stingers team have the Russians in the women's water polo quarterfinals. The Kookaburras play Germany in the men's hockey semi-final. And the Boomers, of course, with a big one against Argentina in the men's basketball quarterfinals. On the text line, Dave from Leichhardt Pauls points out, in terms of the Australia Matildas v Sweden one, don't think it was called offside. Yeah, you're right. It was a block in the wall, so whistle blown and can't use VAR. You're right, Dave. Thank you. Wrong call all the same, he says. Fact is, they should have been 1-0 up. Olympic silver medalist and Commonwealth Games gold medalist John Stephenson will be joining me for our live coverage of day 11 from 10 o'clock. And you can have your say. 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170. So coming up next, Andrew Webster from the Sydney Morning Herald. But it is time now for a betting update with Paul Sebastiani from Bet Deluxe. Bet Deluxe, you can download the new Bet Deluxe app today. Gamble responsibly. The helpline 1800 858 858. G'day, Paul.
G'day, Matt. How are you?
Good, thanks. Looking forward to a big day and a big night. So what are the markets saying about the Boomers in particular against Argentina tonight?
Yeah, very heavily favoured of the Boomers at $1.24. Argentina, the outsiders in this one, at $4.11. And the point spread here is in favour of the Boomers, obviously, at -7.5, being $1.85. and the plus 7.5 for Argentina is there at $1.97. So, look, hopefully the Boomers can go one better than what the Matildas did last night. They were very, very stiff not to get at least a draw and take that into extra time. But Boomers favourite in this one, Matt, the tip-off from 10 p.m. tonight.
Away from the games, the Aussie T20 match against Bangladesh.
Yeah, this is an interesting one here. Australia favoured at $1.37, but there has been a little bit of a sprinkle at the head-to-head for Bangladesh. I think it's probably just given the form that Australia showed in those T20s against West India a couple of weeks ago. So, look, Josh Billupi, the favourite to lead the run scoring there for Australia at $3.30, alongside Matthew Wade at the same price too. So, look, market saying that Australia probably win, but still giving Bangladesh a chance in this one.
All right, NRL, here come the Seagulls, Paul. What are the markets saying?
Yeah, from a premiership perspective, Melbourne obviously, very, very heavily back favours to win the whole thing. $2.20, Penrith $3.75, the South $6.50. But I can say there has been a little bit of a firm for Manly overnight. They're $11, the fourth favourite to win the whole thing. So, you know what, I actually think they're half a sniff to even make the grand final. They're $7 to make the grand final. I'll tell you what, if Turbo Tom can get on a run like he usually does, I think Manly are a big sniff to almost make the big dance, at least the prelim potentially.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating final series, but we've got to get there first. Racing today, mate, have you got a tip for us from Pakenham?
Yeah, we do. There's one. There are two here that have been really well backed in race two. One is set to profit for Anthony and Sam Friedman. Brett Preble takes the ride at $3. But we've had a good little each way nibble for race two, number three, Pack of Wolves. It's 20-1 and $5 a place. So blinkers go on first time, and the punters have a little small nibble each way at the long price. So race two, number three, and race two, number five, the best back runners today at betdeluxe.com.au.
Good on you, Paul. Have a good day, mate.
No worries. You too, Matt. All the best.
There is Paul Sebastiani from Bet Deluxe. Serious betting for serious punters. Download the new Bet Deluxe app today, but please gamble responsibly. The helpline, 1800 858 858.
He's the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald. It's Wednesdays with Andrew Webster.
Yes, do not adjust your radios, folks. It's not Wednesday, it's Tuesday, but because of our Olympic coverage, we've had to move Webby forward a day. We just didn't have the cash to redo that sting for you. Webby, morning, mate.
Good morning. It's day 10, though, isn't it?
It's day 11. It's day 11.
Oh, it's day 11. It's
yes.
Day 11.
Day 11 of competition.
What day is it again?
And
where am I?
At 10 o'clock, mate, I'm going to be joined again by John Stephenson. So I had James Magnuson, the missile, with me for week one of coverage, and then Steph just sauntered on into the building yesterday and plonked it down here. What a character he is.
Yeah, Steph, he's one of the greats. Can I tell you my funny Steph story?
Oh, yes, you've got one, go.
I do. So in Rio, 5 years ago now, seems like an eternity, I landed in Rio for the Olympics. My first port of call was John Stephenson, who I knew would be over there. He picks up the phone, we're chatting away, and he goes, Webby, I've got a mate here who wants to talk to you. I said, oh, good as gold, hands over the phone. Hello, Andrew, it's Usain. And I went, piss off, who is it? No, it's Usain Bolt. How are you, Mark? And I went, oh, my God, it's Usain bloody Bolt. So we chatted for a little while, and I'm frantically getting my notebook out and asking him some inane questions. So yeah. I got the first interview with Usain Bolt in Rio ahead of the Olympics, in which he basically said nothing, but it was Usain Bolt, for God's sake. So, that's the wide reach of the great John Stephenson.
Yes. You know? Well, let me tell you, that connection continues. He was sitting here in our Olympic studio yesterday and decided to call, as he said, the big man. And I assume, because I actually chipped him, I said, so have you got him under a different name or is he on speed dial on your phone? And he said, no, he's just there. And he goes, actually, I'll give him a call. So in an ad break, he ended up FaceTiming Usain, who was in Jamaica. So that's the kind of reach that Steph has. I'm interested to know, Webby, from a journo's point of view, When you get that opportunity all of a sudden out of the blue, to try and think, geez, what bloody questions do I ask him here? I wasn't planning on interviewing Usain.
I was just calling to gibber about Steph about how he was going. I've actually interviewed Usain Bolt before, after London, in between London and Rio, I think it was only like a matter of months, a matter of weeks after he won gold in London, and he was out in Sydney for some promo tour, and I think maybe a Grand Prix event. He's very engaging. He's impossible not to like. But that said, we've got our own stars of the track, as we've seen in the last couple of days. How good's it been?
And how incredible has the Olympics overall been? Because you think, you know, just in the weeks leading up and then back in the months and obviously in the year of the postponement, that this could have been a train wreck coming, that we could have seen a Tokyo Games where it turned into a COVID catastrophe. It's been the other way, Webby.
100%. I've got a theory on this. I reckon not so much maybe... I reckon for the last two Olympics and then this one, there's a real pessimism that seems to be around the Olympic Games. It's all about the corporatisation of sport. It's not about what it used to be. It's about the fat cats at the IOC, the corruption, the back deals that happened. And we have this real pessimism about the Olympics and even the Commonwealth Games in many respects these days. And then it happens and then we watch it and we go, how bloody good is this? And I think the confluence of COVID, the fact it's in our time zone, and the fact that we're all locked down and we can watch it when we're allegedly, quote-unquote, working, means that it's been... I don't know whether I'm watching it through rose-coloured glasses or not, but I have found it to be just beautiful sport, raw sports, watching it in its purest form. It's really resonated with me, to be perfectly honest, to see how Rowan Browning's gone, how Riley Day went in the 200 last night, obviously Peter Bowl tomorrow night, and that backstory. I know we had the heartache of the Matildas, but that was sort of, and the Hockey Roos, but that's been overtaken by the Opals and them getting through to the semi. It's just, yeah, I have actually, God, do I sound like Bruce? I sound like I'm sound like McAvaney, don't I?
By the way, you did a great article.
About him this week. Yeah. Thank you. I wrote about him this week. But even seeing how I've got Bruce-like excitement about the Olympics.
Well, the good thing is it's genuine excitement this time around. So Bruce can get excited about anything, but this is absolutely genuine when you are back in your lounge room and you're watching it. Have you seen a Tyria Games?
I'm glad Sydney's in lockdown and no one can see me blubbering watching. No, it's got to be the teariest Olympics that I can remember, good and bad. When Skye Nicholson cried after being not winning her quarterfinal a few days ago. That was heartbreaking. But it's just, yeah, it's been a really, I think just, it's what the world needed. The tonic of the world needed, Matthew. Do you like this? I should be putting this in copy.
Just write it down while you're talking to us.
Let me just try it again. Was it tonic, world?
The world needed. That's right. Can I talk to you about I need to talk to you about the reporting of the games. We touched on this, that it's very different these days, and especially for journalists who are either over there or back here, having a look at different feeds and all sorts of stuff. Now, after the Aussies won the 4x100 metres medley, the last event that we ended up in the pool, I saw an article on the news website and it said, inverted commas, straight up cheated. This is the headline, straight up cheated. Americans blast Australia after women's 4x100 metres medley win. It then gets into the story that the Americans who blasted Australia were on Twitter. And then, get this, so this is what the story is based on. That headline that Australia straight up cheated, which is on the website, stays there forever, goes out to all of the youngsters who are reading it, goes out to the parents, goes out to the grandparents, the brothers, the sisters, everybody who's been involved in this sees a headline that says Australia straight up cheated. That is based on a post on Twitter by some American user who says, Australia straight up cheated. You can see on the replay the last swimmer jumped way before a teammate touched the wall. That tweet doesn't even exist. The next quote is from another American. This is the source that this journalist has gone to, the sources. The next quote is from another Twitter user, Barbara Dees, who says, Australia's women's swim relay team totally cheated. Barbara Dees has 20 followers, and I don't know if she or he is an expert in American in swimming. Then there's another one that says, nah, Australia's cheated. From Cammy Loveheart Sunni plus Rebecca fan club at It's Cammy G. What I'm getting to here is that we get these sensationalist headlines that basically say Australia cheated based on zero sources whatsoever. That is not journalism. That's lazy crap.
Welcome to Kick, the World of Clickbait. Crazy, isn't it? Well, you know what? It's funny, though. Like, we will say something silly on Morning Glory with Matty Johns every Friday on SEN, 9 to 12. Make sure you tune in. And we'll say, basically say nothing that's serious on that show. And then later in the afternoon, we'll see things that we've said tongue-in-cheek picked up by clickbait news services and reporting as if it's true. I can't tell you how many times I've had to call clubs and players and whoever and explain, listen, that wasn't in the spirit of what was said. And they go, no, we understand. That's, you know, that's news.com for you. I am deleting my social media accounts today. That's it. I'm done.
Why?
I've had enough. Because these Olympics have shown to me that it's a complete, to use the cliche, toxic sewer. And I said it on, actually, on Maddie's show last Friday. The straw that broke the camel's back for me is Jess Fox wins gold finally in the C1 slalom last Thursday afternoon. If you're watching it live and you're texting around your mates, it's like, how good is this? If you go over to the cesspool of Twitter, it's, gee, the old man didn't really show enough emotion in commentary for Channel 7, even though there was no camera on him, and even though he was actually stunned for words and couldn't speak. Like, he was literally lost for words. But according to Twitter, he, you know, it was like he was calling a, I saw one post calling a funeral. And it's like, I'm done. I'm done. We should be celebrating, you know, if you, the Olympics have been something that we can celebrate, but social media has got a very negative view of the world, and I'm deleting it as of today. There you go.
Can you just go back on it when you're on the punt?
Had enough.
No, when you're on the punt, because following you on Twitter when you're on the punt.
I didn't say I was deleting the apps.
You are.
I didn't say I was deleting the betting apps.
You are good to follow when you're winning, then losing, and then the beers are stacking up. Yeah. So you heard it here first on the morning show, courtesy of Andrew Webster, that the Tokyo Games are the tonic that the world needed and that social media is a toxic sewer. We're going to take the 9:30 news, and then after that we'll talk rugby league. This is the morning show with Matt White on 1170 SEN, 0457 736 736. If you've got a thought for Webby, fire it in. Thank you, Celeste. Of course, our coverage of Day 11 Tokyo 2020 live on SEN kicks off at 10 o'clock. John Stephenson will be joining me, Olympic silver medalist, Commonwealth Games gold medalist. We'll get straight into it, in fact, at the Olympic Stadium, because the men's 1500 metre heats are on, starting at 10:05. On our text line, Webby, oh dear, they don't like this. Sorry to hear that, Webby. This is about you bailing out on social. I've loved your contributions on Twitter, says Paramat. 0457 736 736. Also, people love
That's
your TV.
Paramat.
People love your TV suggestions on Netflix as well. You can't bail out on these people. Don't you dare go, Andrew, says Martin. Should we start the campaign right now to keep Webby on Twitter, especially when he's had a couple?
Buy the paper instead.
Oh,
dear. Struggling with it.
Yes. Hey, the performance last night of Tommy Turbo in Manly's big win over the Sharks. I heard this on Vossi's program this morning, that somebody said that Tom Trbojevic in the modern-day fullback is like the queen piece in a game of chess, can move absolutely everywhere. And that's Tom Trbojevic at the moment, another outstanding performance. Manly are on the roll here.
Yeah, they are. I read this on Twitter earlier this morning. Apparently, and someone made a really good point. If he continues playing uninjured for the rest of the year, the way that he's playing, that'll be probably 16 matches for the year, for the home and away year. And with Nathan Cleary out, he will probably win the Dally M, probably. Mm. Which is extraordinary given how much football he's missed because of injury. But that just shows you the dominance that he's got. I've talked to Andrew Johns about it many times. Like, it's hard to recall a player being that important one individual being important to a team, dare I say it, since Joey, when he was playing for the Knights. I think Manly, if anyone's going to challenge those top teams, it's Manly. The only question mark is not how many points they can score, but how many they can defend. And they led 20 in against the Sharks last night. They'll be coming up against better attacking units than them when the whips get cracking later in the year. So I tell you what, they make it interesting, though. And off the back of how he's playing this year, It's something to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, and then we get the blockbuster coming our way. So you're right with their defence. They've let 400 points in, and then you look at the top teams, in particular Storm and Panthers, which is different league at the moment, really. You're looking at 224 for the Storm and 222 for the Panthers. What about...
Remember the first month? We were wondering whether Des Hazel was going to have a job at the end of the season.
Yes.
We didn't know whether he was going to be re-signed. We thought he might have gone early. They were already consigned by many people to the wooden spoon, and now it sums up the wacky season that we've had so far. That Manly are the most likely to push. Like I'd have them equal with South as a team that could push Melbourne and possibly Penrith. Again, that said though, I can't see anyone getting near those two at the end of the year.
0457 736 736. If you'd like to send in a text, should we keep Webby on Twitter, folks? Let me know. Duckman says, Webby, surely you're not going to bail out on social media. How are you going to find out? How are you going to find out about the amazing Chuck Norris facts, like how many push-ups Chuck can do? All of them, says Duckman. You can't do it. Webby is a serial Twitter account deleter. He'll be back, I hope. I need a fellow Dragon supporter.
I have deleted a few times.
Yeah, this is Don says, I need a fellow Dragon supporter to cry with. So
I have thrown my toys out of the cot a few times and deleted it, then got to get it going again. But this time it's for real.
For real. What about this position 7 and 8? Position 7 and 8 on the ladder. So we now have the Titans, Sharks, Raiders, Dragons, and Knights all on 18 points. And you talk about a player like Trbojevic making such a difference to Manly. What about Bradman Best and Kalyn Ponga making the Knights a completely different side? So now we have to look at them. They're in 11th, so they're in 11th with differential, but they're on 18 points, and they're coming home strong too.
Oh, it's very, very congested there. The old Dragons, my beloved Dragons, have gone, been bundled out, but, you know, you could throw something with a pointy end on it to find out who finishes in those, you know, 7th and 8th positions. I don't mind the Raiders. They're playing good footy. I think the way that they've changed their attack with Josh Hodgson has helped for sure. And the Knights, once they get Mitchell Pearce back, again with Bradman Best and with Ponga, they've got a lot of strike there as well. It's an interesting way. To me, though, without being too negative, it does show to me just how weak the comp is, that teams like the Titans and the Sharks, even the Raiders and the Knights, could fill those last two positions in the 8. I think they're just making up the numbers, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's the story inside the story of the final month of the comp, isn't it?
The other story too, and it's only 2 days away, is where do we play this weekend's game? So we've got the Knights and Broncos scheduled for Sunshine Coast on Thursday. We've got a Gold Coast game between the Raiders and Dragons on Friday, and in fact, that's a double header at the moment. But there's a chance that the Queensland government will want all these at Suncorp Stadium again. Can Suncorp hold up to all these rounds week after week after week?
It did magic round. That's the litmus test. Excuse me. that's shown in the past that it can take a whole round of football. Whether it can take week on week on, I doubt it. But the game's just got to do what the Queensland government says it should do at the moment. I know that Andrew Abdo, when that all broke on Saturday, when they were told Saturday morning at 9:30, well, there's no football at all, and Abdo was on the phone to the Queensland government for about 12 hours and was told at 9:30 that night that they could relocate last night's games to the Monday. I think they're doing a very good job, the NRL, in convincing the Queensland government, despite the few breaches that they've had, that they're doing the right thing in terms of those biosecurity levels. But as the NRL explained to me, as Andrew Abdo explained to me himself, the thing that makes it a hard sell is what Coruscant and Jai Arrow did. And if you can sit there and look, there's actually a fair bit of empathy for what James Roberts is, you know, misdemeanor with breaching the gaffer tape. But those two in particular, Coruscant and Arrow, they're the two that have made things so tough for the NRL in trying to sell to the Queensland government that they're not going to be a risk of spreading COVID. So, if you know, the mercy of a competition and that huge broadcast agreement is in the hands of the players. really. So if they want to get paid, just do the right thing.
What about grand final? I mean, they're going to have to be talking about it now. You're going to have a couple of backup plans. Most likely is play it in the backyard where they still are, but we don't know what's going to unfold there. Have you heard any whispers about who could be putting their hands up?
I think, look, the NRL were privately saying that they would try and leverage the grand final and sell it to the highest bidder to offset the millions and millions of dollars that they are spending by relocating the entire comp to southeast Queensland. I reckon the things have, that was like a couple of weeks ago. Things have changed because they're basically at the mercy of the Queensland government. So I think it would be very hard for the NRL to turn around and say, well, listen, you know what, you've done the right thing by us, but now we're going to leverage this and get as many millions of dollars out of you or the Victorian government so we can hold the grand final there. I'd be stunned if it was held anywhere else but Suncorp Stadium, to be perfectly honest, given what the Queensland government has done to keep the NRL going.
Back on the Olympics, Webby, 0457 736 736. Should we keep Webby on Twitter or not? Do we let him go today? He'll be back, but do we let him go today? Let me know your thoughts on that because he's prepared to bail out. Back on the Olympics, sport climbing is on the list today. So they're scaling the wall. Out of the new sports that you've seen so far, which ones have you been liking? I thought the BMX was awesome. I thought that was pretty crazy.
Holy hell. We weren't doing that on our Melbourne Stars back in the day in the streets of Yarunga. I was too fat to do a bunny hop.
I just had an image of you in the lycra that the guys were wearing out there at the BMX.
No, and you don't want that.
I don't want that. You are looking pretty good, though. You've been working out. Like you've cut all the way back.
I've been no alcohol in lockdown.
Right. No wonder you're giving up Twitter. You're losing your mind.
Something's got to give, baby. Something's got to give.
Here's my question.
That Logan Martin on a couple of nights ago, or a couple of afternoons ago, that was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. I have a few. Look, I like a lot of people. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, but I understand why the IOC is trying to, those funky hepcats at the IOC are trying to entice a new demographic to the Olympics. I'm not big on the 3-on-3 basketball. I'm not big on breakdancing in Paris. I'll be interested, hopefully, over there covering it. I do want to see breakdancing and see how it all goes down. But I understand the BMX now, the BMX park. I wasn't that big on the skateboarding. There seemed to be a lot of face planting in that. Don't you reckon?
Oh, yeah, there was. But I could tell you, I'm with you. I think skateboarding's half there. I don't know about 3-on-3 basketball. I'm going to be interested with sport climbing to see them scaling up the walls. I think that could be pretty cool. But for me, that standout winner was absolutely the BMX. And James Magnuson and I sat here in the first week and we couldn't take our eyes off it. There's some pretty good face plants in that as well.
Exactly. I think I'm not a big fan of golf. I think if you're going to have golf and tennis, those big professional sports, they should be...
Do it different.
Not just stroke play, individual stroke play. They should be a teams format.
Yeah, do
it. A Davis Cup format or a President's Cup format or something like that for those sports. You just mentioned Magnuson before. I can't wait to buy him a beer when we get out of lockdown because his tipping was something to behold. Don't you reckon? Am I allowed to say that?
Well, I gave up the ghost yesterday when Brandy came in because we did have Maggie's multis running and he struck out a couple of times. But the one that he gave to you when he was doing Morning Glory with you guys and he gave
Ka-ching.
It to you. Well, he gave it to you off air, didn't he?
I can't remember.
Yeah, because I wasn't on it.
I just raced to the app and got on.
I wasn't on it. Dave from Leichhardt says, Webby is the John Farnham of Twitter. I like it.
For one last time. No, seriously, I mean it. I do.
I've got one last question for you just to wrap up the Olympics. If you were going to be an Olympian, Andrew Webster, what sport do you think you would have excelled in?
Excelled in? God.
Sprinter? None of them. Swimmer? Equestrian?
Can I tell you which one I'd rather be?
Yes.
I want to come back as a Jamaican sprinter.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I can see where you're heading.
What? hang on. That's a bit. I know where you're going.
There's another image of you in Lycra that I don't need.
I must have been able to run fast. I was very... Okay, right, this is jibber now. This is now turning into jibber. This is exactly what I'd find on social media, so this is why I'm going.
That's why you're off. Just make sure you stay with us on SEN. Good on you, mate. Enjoy day 11 of competition. We'll catch up again next week.
Good on you. Say hello to Steph for me.
I will. I don't know what we got through there, but we got through quite a bit. You can continue to have your say. 0457 736 736. Sharky, you've dived in early here. Manly's defence is crap compared to Storm, says Sharky on the Twitter, on the text line this morning. Now, we had a bit of a deal, Sharky, because you were convinced that your boys were going to beat my boys last night. 40-22 was the score, and you need to give me a call, 1300 01 1170, and sing the Manly song. A bit of Eagle Rock will do it, no problems at all. We'll be back after this on the morning show with Matt White on 1170 SEN, about 15 minutes away from our live coverage of Day 11 at Tokyo 2020. On the text line, 0457 736 736, Matt, completely agree with your comments on the lazy journalism happening during the Olympics. I read that exact article yesterday and noticed it riled up people who didn't even bother checking the Twitter user sources. It's a dangerous path to go down and creates divide. Cheers, Sam from Forestville. Sam, you are spot on, but it's not lazy journalism. It's lazy crap. That's not journalism. And those stupid headlines don't do anything but provide clickbait. Imagine if you were one of those swimmers or one of those swimmers' families and you read that and then you dive on in and find that it's just some bizarre quote from Twitter in the middle of nowhere on some social media platform by nobody that is generating that headline. That kind of stuff is not needed. Well said, Sam. You've put it in beautifully. Now, listen, Sharky, I love our listeners. Sharky and I had a bit of to and fro last week about Manly v. the Sharks. I said I'd sing Up Up Cronulla if they won, and Sharky kind of agreed that he would sing the Manly song Eagle Rock if they won. So Sharky's given us a call during the ad break. He's busy, but take it away, Sharky. You're living up to your promise.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Eagle Rock, Manly won't win the comp because their defence is crap. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's in the Eagle Flop. Eagle Flop, Eagle Rock, whatever it is. Turbo gonna blow his turbo, it's shit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do win the Eagle Flop. Ba, ba, ba. Do win the Eagle Flop. Bye.
Sharky, you are a legend. 1300 01 1170. We'll take it any way we can. Morning, Whitey. Can you tell me if you're a fan of some of these tries being given in the NRL lately where the players are held up and they roll around for 10 seconds, then ground the ball? If it was anywhere else on the field, it's held. This is from Chapo in Kiama. Personally hate it, but then again, I hate most of the video ref decisions. Yeah, it's a weird one, but I guess, do you give some leeway over the line? I mean, that's where the drama comes from. So, I don't know. I don't mind it. I don't mind it, Chapo. Thank you for that. 0457 736 736. We need to get this one up and running. An odds update thanks to TopSport.
An odds update for TopSport, home of the Top Sports betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Good morning. It's Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport. What a gutsy effort by the Matildas last night to just go down to the best in the world against Sweden. A big day coming up at the track where the men's 400-metre hurdles is set for 1:20 p.m. The final looks to be a race in two between Norwegian Carsten Warholm, who is $1.75, and American Rye Benjamin, who is $2.50. Brazilian Alisson Dos Santos is the third pick at $7. The women's long jump final is set for 11:50 this morning, where we have a wide open field contesting the event. Four of the competitors are under $5, with German Malika Mahumbo the 3.70 favourite. The interest on the track for Aussie fans is the heat of the men's 1500 starting at 10, where we have a live medal hope. On the water, the Aussies are pretty sure to claim another gold, with the team of Matt Belcher and Will Ryan holding a sizeable lead in the men's 4.70 going into races 9 and 10 today just after lunch. And the duo is $1.20 to lock up gold. Enjoy the day ahead, and if you're having a punt, make sure you do so responsibly.
Top Sport, home of the Top Sports betting multi. Download the Top Sport app today. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
We have had a lot of fun this morning, so thanks for all of your input. The great John Stephenson's in the house. He'll be with me from 10 o'clock, so just a couple of minutes' time, straight after the news, we'll be kicking off our Day 11 coverage of Tokyo 2020 live here on SEN. Before that, on the text, Pommy Rabideau says, Morning, Matt. I've taken a leaf out of Webby's book, deleted Twitter and Facebook. Social media is a toxic place. Idiots like Piers Morgan bagging athletes for achieving bronze. Of course you're there to win gold, but to be the third best in the world is still good. Good on you, Pommy. Thank you for that, mate. Morning, Matt says, the reptile, I'm really upset for the boomers. The broadcast and press has been shocking. They're in the gold medal chance to their eyeballs and you can't watch the end of their games. Other teams that won't even medal get heaps of press. Not good. Good on you for that. Mark says, Sharky's lost the plot. The porch light's not only turned off, it's disconnected. 73 and 78 has scarred the poor soul. Thank you, Mark. And Sharky's texted me back to say, you owe me a beer, Matty. That's Rod Sharky from Nowra. All right, Sharky, I call that one all because you've done an outstanding performance. So day 11 of coverage is coming up. In fact, Sharky, you can have the last word today.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here you go, Rob. Man, he won't win the comp because their defence is crap. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. As soon as the eagle flop. Eagle flop, eagle rock, whatever it is. Turbo gonna blow his turbo, it's shit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do when the eagle flop. Ba, ba, ba.